Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 515. My name is John Morgan, and leading boxing analyst Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas, the fight capital of the world, where you would expect all the hard-hitting boxing coverage to be coming from on the MMA Roadshow. I saw you getting out and doing a little boxing coverage this past weekend.
As much as I'm like, I'm never going to cover boxing. When I was down covering the Athletic Commission hearing, and you know, when those guys go out of their way to really sort of talk about a fight, it could either go two ways. It could either be like, okay, you're just selling the fight, but when you can tell somebody sincerely, like, you need to see this event. I was talking to Jeff Mullen, the executive director, and I said, hey, you know, I was thinking about going down to this boxing event, you know, that's coming up.
Right.
But I haven't really heard much buzz. Nobody within the network was sort of asking for it. What can you tell me about it? He was like, this fight is going to be something. He's like, I think you will really enjoy it. A couple undefeated guys going in there trying to unify a belt, but also trying to set them up to fight the main dude or something like that. Because it was weird. They're unifying a belt or doing something like that, but it was still like considered like a contender fighter or something weird.
You know how boxing's
fucking
weird. You know
how
boxing does.
It's
like,
so weird.
It's the silver title or whatever. Like, what? What are you talking about?
It's a super middleweight, not just a middleweight, you know.
It was, by the way, it was the WBA regular and interim WBC world light heavyweight titles.
like, what? It's so ridiculous. It was so confusing. And it's funny because since I don't do it, a lot of the boxing guys that cover MMA that were there were trying to sort of explain it to me. But at the same time, it was just like this, like, we'll tell you this is why it is, but it doesn't make any damn sense.
It's a problem like, when even they, like, everybody in the sport realizes there's too many titles to even mean anything. They don't even, they don't matter. Like, it's cool. It looks good on a poster, but, like, it doesn't mean anything. So, anyway.
When you're making a title belt that it's, like, defining the contenders, it's like,
I can win this title so I can fight for the title.
Okay. But, no, it was great. And then, so I get there to cover it, and lo and behold, man, I'm telling you, when you put that USA Today on the name charts, when I walked down to my seat, I looked at the credential. I was like, it says Section whatever one, which is related to Section 101.
Right.
But they were like, Section 1, it was like Row 1, Seat 8. And I was like, no.
That when must
I got
be the section behind
behind the other one, you know. Yeah, that's Section 0. I'm in Section 01, which is behind that one. Because when I got the email that said, like, hey, you know, we got a reserved seat for you. Let us know if you're not going to come. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, I better go, you know, maybe just go do it. I don't want to just not shoot it. Because early in the day was when we're watching the fights early this morning. So I was so tired. I was like, I'm just going to stay home.
Right.
I'm just going to stay home. Because at that point, and I apologize, and I'll tell you more in a second, I was like, I'm going to do a quarter show.
Oh,
I'll get to it. I'll get to it after that.
I was going
to
ask you if there was a distribution
issue. It got caught up in the sauce somewhere.
We'll get to that
a
little
bit. But then I was like, okay, well, let me just go this boxing. I'll just get to that later on. So then when I got there and I saw where the seat was, I was like, I'm so glad I came here, you know, because it was really, really cool. But then besides that, the fights were really, really good. Like, I can't remember when the last time I went to a boxing where I was just like, wow, this is fun.
Right.
You know, I actually had a good time watching the fights. And, you know, I know a couple of the boxing guys were like, when it came to David Benavidez and David Morrell, that they were like, it kind of sucks. It's like when you have two stars – that easily if you could keep them away from each other, keeps right. interest in the sports, and it builds fans, and it's better for the boxing.
Yeah, but you
this got, one, you slammed them together, and a lot of people
gotta
are like,
have that. I think you got to have
that. I think that's why it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was such a fun fight.
I understand that concept, but that's been one of the big problems. And again, I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend like I'm the leading boxing expert. Like I watch,
but it's just any fight comeback, because we say the same thing in MMA all
that's
the time.
It. You can't keep them apart. You got to have the best fighting the best, because that's what gets you going. Like, it is cool to have two guys on their own path and building. You're like, that's a star, this is a star. But I think the mindset of the whole industry has to change. And you see it, I guess, with Turkey over in Saudi Arabia. Yep. That's what he's saying. It's like, we got to make these fights happen, and we're going to make them happen.
Yep.
I won't pretend to know like what's best for the overall industry as far as his involvement in the organizations. Yeah. And Zoom. I don't know the business well enough. But I just do know that for combat sports, the best need to fight the best.
The best need to fight the best.
That's what makes the fans. And I think the fan mindset has to shift as well, where it's, hey, if the guy's got a couple losses, it's okay. I still want to watch him fight. You know what I mean? You don't have to be only the undefeated guys are good. Like, no, good guys can have some losses too. Are they exciting? Do they make me want to watch it fight?
But is it kind of weird in this situation, like we said, you got two guys fighting to like sort of unify this interim belt and this other belt, and you knock off one of your rising potentially stars, and he's not even fighting for the official belt, you know,
right.
which is kind of interesting and kind of weird. I hope I'm not misspeaking on what was at stake, but it was like the interim weird shit, and it's just like, okay. But in terms of the fight, dude, it was fantastic. And the fight before that, Fulton Figueroa was a good fight, the Isaac Cruz and the Angel, I imagine, Fierro.
How was the I didn't get to see this because obviously I was on air, and we'll talk about CFFC in a minute, but how was the crowd, T-Mobile Arena?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was fun. I mean, boxing fans are always so – it's kind of fun when you see them. They have their little sort of things. But when the walkouts, you see everybody just cram over to the sides to – much more so than MMA. You see it happen in MMA, but you get the people, for the most part, MMA is just like, whatever. You know, I'm not going to walk over it just so I could try to put my hands out. They literally smash against the fence, you know, trying to get that shot. And I think it's just one of those things that – I mean, maybe people when they used to go to the UFC, you know, you spend a lot of money to get on the floor. Like, I'm going to take as much as I can. You know, I'm going to shoot the video. I'm going to run over there. Boxing's always – but in terms of MMA, I think there's a lot of security too, and they're used to saying, no, please go back to your seat. They'll kind of control it a little bit.
Yeah.
Boxing is just like, we can't stop this rush. They're going to do what they want, and then they're going to go back to the seats. And as long as they go back to the seats, we're cool with that.
Right.
So it's like a unsaid sort of rule. You know, as long as guys go get your shot, whatever. The fire's going to go by. The boxers love seeing everybody cram alongside. That's got to be a really cool visual as well walking out. And then when you're shooting, say if they have a camera, like they do the walkouts of the UFC, you got the fighter coming to see fully all those people off to the side flush and with their cameras out. That's got to be a great image, you know. So I think they're just used to like, all right, go ahead and do your thing. But, yeah, the environment was really, really cool. It was neat kind of just seeing even though I don't understand why boxing really likes smoke machines. So, like, the smoke machines were going, like,
a lot of smoke.
The whole fucking time. Like, you know, like, off the sides when I'm sitting in press row and, like, there wasn't even a fight happen. There wasn't whatever. Smoke coming. The fight's going on. Random tufts of smoke just kind of go over. I'm like, what is going on with the smoke machines? I was like, what is boxing's obsession with smoke machines? But it was really cool.
Like, you know what this fight needs?
Yeah.
More smoke.
More smoke. Which is cool when they say it's a walkout, I get it in the walkout, because when those lights do the sweeping lights and everything is kind of coming,
yeah,
it looks really cool going through.
You are right. It's been a while since I've been in a boxing. You're right. They usually leave the smoke machine going the whole time.
It just kind of just keeps drizzling all on its own the whole time. They did have some lights that were kind of crazy that were like shooting down. That was like the perfect angle that kept hitting us on like the press row. But
flashing,
they had like these flashing strobes. Yeah. I was like, I told the guy next to me, I was like, if I happen to go in a seizure, I was like, can you please look at my phone for an emergency contact and tell them what happened? I was like, I'm going to die by strobe. It was ridiculous. But then I was like, Kenny, this is not a bad problem. I was like, you're in a fucking great seat. It just happens to have a shitty angle for this,
for that one,
this strobe light.
I've,
you know?
I've had that.
Their strobes, it was impressive.
Yeah.
I think, again, all the lights, I think, were meant to play off the smoke. So, you know, it was just like.
I'll tell you one thing, man, and I say this all the time. And again, it's been a while since I've been to a boxing event. But I will say this, that big-time boxing events, I still feel that the UFC from start to finish feels bigger as a whole from the beginning, right? Because, like, the crowd – now, granted, in Vegas, Las Vegas is a bit of a later arriving crowd, but in MMA and UFC especially, like, you feel like the crowd shows up earlier, the presentation is done fully throughout the night, whereas in boxing, like, they kind of build to a crescendo. Like, in the beginning, the walkouts aren't quite as big. You know what I mean? Like, it builds. But, boy, when you get to the main event of a big boxing event – it feels bigger than, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but it just, it's got a different energy than a big UFC fight. Like, it feels bigger. So I think UFC, in my experience, better as a whole, the whole night long. Like, you know, man, you got AL3 playing all night and lights going along, and if you know, it feels like an event all night.
Like, it's consistently,
night.
Yes. Consistently good the whole night long.
But there's something about when you get to a big boxing main event that you're just, and I know it looks stupid with like 100 people in the ring or whatever, you know, but it is something weird where you're just like, whoo, we got something going here.
You know, and it's funny because I think it was with Danny Brenner I was having this discussion because there was, since we had a great seat, we were able to see some people just dressed to the nines.
Oh, yeah.
And we were trying to wonder, you know, I know I've been to MMA events where I've seen the ladies looking just good, you know, looking great, you know, dressed up, you know, they're going out. Boxing, I think you see it a lot more. They see a lot more in boxing. I feel like you see people dress up for the event.
Oh,
When you look at a typical, and don't take this wrong, MMA fans, you look at a lot of the MMA fans, it looks like they were pre-gaming at one of the local bars, then they show up, they're ready to get shit-faced, and then they go back to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like when you watch boxing, they dressed up nicely, they either went to the boxing, now they're going to go to a nice dinner, or maybe they went to a nice dinner beforehand, then they came to the boxing event, then they're going to go to the club or whatever.
You got like ladies wearing like formal cocktail dresses and stuff. And
there were some that I was just like, holy cow, like she is a 10, but tonight she's dressed like a 12. I mean, it was just fantastic. But it's funny because we were like, you definitely notice the difference in the crowd. And I don't know but I think that's been boxing for a long time.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't just the ladies. I think the boxing events used to be such a big spectacle that people did dress up when they would go to boxing. You were spending a crazy amount of money. You're spending boxing money at a UFC event, but it's still, I think it stems from the fact of the sport itself, you know, was so backward, you know, it was like the back room. It was like, you know, this little niche thing where it was like, you know, you figure like it was human cockfighting, you know, like you don't dress up for that, you know. But then once it started becoming more mainstream, then you started seeing people like, well, if I'm going to go out to Vegas and I'm going to T-Mobile or if I'm going to the MGM Grand, of course I'm going to look good. Then you start seeing the crowd like really dressed up. But boxing, I think, they just bring it a lot of times to the fan. Granted, you still see some very casually dressed people in boxing. But you definitely see some well-dressed people in boxing. So I think that it just reminds me of, like, boxing's heyday. Not that maybe we're out of heyday now, but it's like it reminds me when I was younger watching, like, Tyson fights and Holyfield fights and all those other fights, and you'd see pans of the crowd, and you're just like, dudes were in suits.
Yeah.
The women are in their nice dresses and stuff. Yep. And, like, it was just fantastic. You know? Cool, so man. I thought that was pretty cool to see that.
I'm glad you got to go see it, man. It's I think it's good to go there every now and then just to because we're so entrenched in MMA and we're so entrenched in the UFC of, like, getting a different perspective of another combat sport, of how they're doing things, of what they're pro and just what's going on up there. So it's cool.
And I felt like you a little bit because, like, during the fight week, I didn't shoot it the media day. I didn't shoot at the weigh-ins. And fight night, I didn't shoot the post-fight. I just brought a laptop. I was like, I'm just going to show up, and I'm just going to, you know,
It's way easier.
I think that's why I had such a good time. I was literally just taking photos and loading it up to, like, USA Today's website. And I'm just like, I like this.
It's fun. Did you see the full card? I don't know how to say his name. I want to say his name, but I saw him fight on one of the other cards. This 18-year-old kid, this Kermel Moten, I think is how you say his name.
Oh, yeah.
That kid, I mean, obviously.
He's the Mayweather kid, right?
Exactly. Yeah he's 18 fantastic. Years old. I mean, obviously they're still putting him up. I mean, he's still in that building phase of his career where he's not facing top-tier talent yet. But the couple times I've seen that guy, man, he is good.
Yeah, he's a future star.
Yeah.
He's right there. He's a future star.
Love it. So, all right, so listen, so boxing was in the bag, and then that's when you came home, you knocked out the and a quarter, and I know that, like, technology malfunctions sometimes. I've had issues at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow with the feed. We found out that I was doing a lot of these and a half episodes, and they weren't even getting distributed, right?
I should have just said that's what happened. It just got lost in the sauce.
But no, that was not the case. You were just
I'm too damn honest.
I appreciate your honesty.
I mean, we wanted, you know, I wanted to put it together, but it, man, it just came too. And I think it was some of the things that made it tough for you. You know, when you're tired after the event, like I think just starting the day so early, watching the fights in the beginning, and then after I got back from the boxing, because I didn't get out of the press room, because it was, you watch the event and then you go sit in the presser, and then that took a while for the boxing thing to go on. And then by the time I got home, I was like, I have no energy. I was like, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. And then tomorrow came, and then I was like, oh, well, I need to do all the things I need to do on my day off before I go whatever. I know. And then next thing I know, I was like, shit, I didn't get it done. And then I was like, maybe I'll try Monday. And then the regular work week starts, and I was like, ah. But I know we did talk a little bit, and I know we – because we understand the value. People love the and a half stuff, so we're going to – What would you decide? What are we on track to do?
We still got to figure that out because I can't do it this week again. I'll actually be flying home during the event. And so I'm actually doing college wrestling on Saturday, flying home during UFC 312, and just it would be impossible for me to get to. But
I will try to do one.
I'll
try to do a
try to get cold coffee to this. And then, yeah, we need to figure out a formal fix because my schedule is about to change dramatically in the way that my work weeks flow. And so maybe
like a Monday night or
maybe
something.
Like a Monday morning, Monday night, Monday whatever, something like that. I don't know. We'll figure
it out. Something is still relevant at that point, you know. I mean, yeah. Because if we can get to it, you know, because I know everybody loves it, and I know we want to try to keep it. You know, I know we still want to add some other little things in there.
We do.
And get some other little value. But I know the and a half is a nice little touch. But I think if we can get it in there Monday, it's still relevant.
Right. And then we can have one episode for our supporters over there that's kind of looking back, and then kind of the Wednesday, Thursday that we always do moving forward. Yeah, maybe we shift to Thursdays or something like we originally did and spread them out a little bit more.
Fridays.
It was originally Fridays.
And then we started shifting to Wednesday because we can get it done early. And it was like, yeah, there was a Thursday in there. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if we give it a little space by going on Thursdays or something.
Yeah, we'll work that out.
Yeah, we'll work it out. We'll keep it in there. But, yeah, we'll figure some out. But I'm going to put myself on the hook. Hopefully I do not let everybody down for 2 weeks in a row. And it could be absolute shit. And then you might be like, no, cold coffee, don't ever do an and a quarter show again. Like, please. But I do think we have the podcast feed stored it, at least when it comes to the and a halves. I got confirmation that people, thank you very much for people that have chimed in and said, like, you know, that, that one clued us into the fact that it wasn't working. And then we tried multiple things, and I think we finally got it sorted because everybody said they got a big flush of like five or six of the and a halves got dumped at one point. So
if you didn't
that's
have
working.
Any nights, I was like,
yeah,
poured it in there to find out they weren't even going anywhere. Yeah. I apologize.
And then the way that the other thing switched, and it might have switched it and went back. I have to double check, but the way they changed the platform, because yeah, the regular podcast wasn't acting the same way. So I'm still dumping it in like we were doing it or trying, but one particular way I have to change it because it just puts up this image that looks like it's a video, but it's not an actual video. And I'm like, what are you doing, Patreon? I don't even know where the fuck they got that image from. It doesn't make any damn sense. I don't know where it does it. I don't know. It's frustrating, but we're working on it. But we appreciate you guys, everybody that's doing the Patreon thing. It means a lot. It really does help that we joke and say it helps keeps the lights on, but it really, really does. You guys help keep the hosting website, which the cost goes up every year. We usually do it. It's just to take it behind the curtain. You know, it's 3 years. We do a 3 year bulk, and last year I think it was like $700 for like the hosting
just
for
the hosting.
3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not counting all the other little stuff.
All the little things.
So it adds up. So your guys' support, when we say it, really means a lot. It really, really does.
Indeed,
it really does.
This
has been a supporter led podcast since the get go, and definitely, when we say thank you, we mean thank you very
Indeed,
much.
Indeed, man. And we're closing in on 10 years. And some
dude,
people that
it's
have
so
been
close.
Riding the
when,
whole thing,
when
man.
You said, when you said, yeah, when you said that number, I was like, oh, my gosh, we're so close. And, yeah, like a lot of – that's, I think, if anything, I'm most proud of. And I think that's why this has always felt like a family for us, because the people that are here now, for the most part, have all been there since the very beginning, you know, which is absolutely incredible. Everybody's been through so much. We joke when we say how much life that we've been through. Everybody's been along the road for us. You know, these 10 years, it's been pretty crazy. But, yeah, look at me. I'm getting all nostalgic
getting
now.
Getting all nostalgic.
I was just nostalgic and emotional.
You know what's funny is I was just looking at it. I think if I'm doing the math right, episode 520, which would essentially be 52 times 10 years, will be on essentially March the 12th or the 13th, depending on if we do Wednesday or Thursday. That's 2 days before my birthday, so it'll be like a decade of doing this podcast a week before I turn.
We're going to get fucked
whatever
up.
Whatever I turn.
We should get fucked up.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to talk me.
I was like, wait,
is John
no,
be willing
fight,
to go
fight that, you know, like put up a little bit of a fight. Now I got, because now I've been doing it better. I've been acting more like an adult since. Had a guest come stay with me a little while back, so I
we pulled the curtain back.
No, I'm not really saying that. But it made me decide to step up my the studio fridge. So we got some liquors in there. We got some stuff in there. So we'll throw down. You might have to Uber that day.
Sounds like
your wife would fucking kill me.
Oh yeah,
like we should just plan on Uber. Yeah, and we'll just go.
My wife is always she's like just. Dummy.
She's like, just take an Uber.
She's so great. She's like, I don't care what you do. She was like, but take an Uber, you idiot.
Yeah.
She's like, one moment can like change your entire life. And I'm like, yeah, you're so right.
It's
like,
not worth it.
You're so right. So 100%.
Maybe we can get some. We should. I'm gonna start putting some videos. Maybe we can get hot tea. Maybe we can get Fiasco to come over.
Ooh.
Start doing the Fiasco podcast. Have you? Checked
I haven't
out
heard
any
that. I saw. I need to. And I saw you were praising his editing of it.
That boy put some work in there because he puts all these video
odd
elements
is the
and
name
all this
of
other
it,
stuff.
Right?
Odd Normal,
definitely not
like,
MMA related.
What in the Weird or something? So I think there's the Odd Normal, and then this little sort of stuff is like What in the Weird. But he goes in and like puts a bunch of that was me. Like I speaking out of turn, I was like Odd Normal's back, and then he's like, but then I saw when he gave me
and
the
he's
rundown.
Like, no, it's not.
He's like Odd Normal, What in the Weird. I was like, okay, so maybe this isn't the full Odd Normal. Maybe he's still because Odd Normal was originally his buddy Jax and his sister. So I think he's keeping that still in case they can come back into the fold.
Right.
Whereas this will be Odd Normal's What in the Weird. Yeah, so that's
got
I guess
it.
I bring the weird part.
Of the franchise.
It's the offshoot there of the franchise or whatever. But dude, his the stuff he goes back and grabs all the little sound bites and all these little video stuff. So it's a video podcast. So we shoot it. It looks pretty fun and stuff. But yeah, by being able to be a video one, he puts all this video stuff in there, and it's really fun. And it's just so different because it's like literally the weirdest shit in the world.
Right.
Aliens and like a. All that stuff, aliens and like CIA training kids and when they're youths and all this other stuff. You're like, it's so bizarre.
I gotta give it a listen.
But yeah, it's fun. But yeah. So now he, since I agreed to help him on that, he needs to come maybe for the episode 10.
I like it.
And the fact that now it's your birthday,
it's crazy, man.
That'd be something. How old are you going to be? Are we allowed to say?
Old.
All right, old. Yeah. Well, I know you're not as old as me.
I don't deal with it very well, bro. Like I'm like, what kind of numbers am I racking up now? Like, oh God,
brother, I'm with you.
I'm telling you, we did. We, you know, like I said, it was funny. We, you know, we're doing this weekend. We're doing Little Rock again, Little University of Arkansas at Little Rock.
Nice.
And so. You know, looking at that one we did a couple weeks ago where Tyler Brennan was there and his dad, Chris Brennan, was there. And I'm like, the first UFC in 1998, like 27 years ago. Like, why am I?
Wow.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Like, just insane, man. Not good. All right, listen, UFC Saudi Arabia, won't go into a full recap of that. But since technology took away the and a quarter episode the way it did.
Darn technology.
What was the strongest thought that you had laid down on tape before? I mean, what was there anything? You know, I think everybody's focus seems to be, where does Israel Adesanya go from here? I think that seems to be the biggest. I was a little surprised to see Jarzynho Rozenstruik no longer with the company after this event. That was not a great fight by any stretch of the imagination, but a little surprised to see that one. MVP, I thought overall. Look, I thought the show was fun, man. I did get a chance to watch it, which was cool. I got to hang out in my hotel room and watch the shows. I was kind of getting my final notes together. I was happy for Jazza DeVizius, of course, a CFFC vet, getting a big win there.
Yeah, she looked great.
MVP, I thought I was. You know, we said it last week, but I was really shocked that MVP was such an underdog going into that fight, man. I don't want to take away from Shara Bullitt. I mean, he's fun, he's exciting, but. This just seemed like it was a matchup that was tailor-made for MVP to be a 2-1 underdog. I was shocked at that one. So I don't know what was the biggest thing that'll stick with you out of that card.
I mean, I definitely think you know it, between that, you know, because I'd pick Char, you know, and I don't know if it wasn't that I doubted MVP. I think, you know, I just have this habit of, you know, jumping on the hype train.
Of course,
you know, and especially overseas, you know, everybody. I was just expecting Char to look better. he looked not great right. at all. And I don't know how much of that was – I know he tried to say he had some illnesses and stuff, and I just wonder how much of that played into the fact or how much of it was a matter of MVP fought his fight and made Shara fight his fight.
It's hard to look good against MVP.
When he's flowing and he's moving, I think he's a problem for anybody.
Anybody.
You know, and I think that's what everybody expected when MVP was signed. They're like, this is the kind of stuff that they knew that they could get from him. So watching that performance, I was like, holy shit, MVP looked fantastic. I thought he looked great. I mean, we talked about Imavov. We talked about what his style and how it was going to be a problem possibly for Izzy. And man, I mean, it played out that way. And it wasn't like Izzy was like having a bad fight. I mean, he looked good going up to that point. He just ate a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, that eye poke, you know, it's kind of almost like what happened with the other, you know, when, you know, they think about the Alex Bahia and Jamal Hill. Right. It's like, it's not.
No.
There was plenty of time, you know, he's the one that took the eye poke, and then he was just like, okay, we're good. And like, okay. It wasn't like, you know, that his opponent took an eye poke and he forced the matter or whatever, yep. You know. He thought he was ready, so people can't say that. But I had no problem with the stoppage. I mean, he was done. Yeah. I mean, he would have just took more, you know, hits on it. But I thought he took it I thought he was very mature in his response and how he was sort of handling everything after the fact. But it definitely, I know a lot of people are wondering, you know, is he still, you know, he's still a top-ranked fighter. He's still yes. a great fighter. Is he the caliber to maybe get the title back? Now a lot of people are starting to doubt that, and I can see their point.
Yeah.
He's not young by any means, you know, but it's like if you can't get through Imavov, who isn't even like maybe the number one or number two
right.
guy, like Imavov's going to have problems when he gets up to the champ. And if Izzy can't get through him, but granted, I say that, but you take a shot from somebody perfectly placed shot on the chin and you get dropped, it doesn't matter who did it, you know.
Right.
It's a puncher's chance, right? And so, you know, maybe the night was just Imavov's fight. It was just his night, you know, and Izzy, you know, maybe you run this fight back and it flip-flops, you know, the winner. But in this particular night, Imavov looked good, but I think he still has some questions to whether he's going to be able to take the top, but it definitely put some questions in my mind of what's next for Adesanya. I mean, with a big name like that, you can't just put him up against like up and coming guys. It doesn't feel right. You know, it has to be a top fight, you know? So maybe you get another couple good contender type level fights out of them, or maybe it's just, maybe Izzy wants to maybe make a weight change or something, or switch it up or something, you know, just to kind of give a little bit of extra something, you know, maybe it'd be interesting to see how he looked with some size on him, but with that frame,
he's got a big frame,
but it's not like he's going to put a bunch of muscle on. Right. Yeah, and you go up to, you know, the light heavyweight, guys are going to be 30, 40 pounds heavier than him, yeah. You know, possibly. So it'd be interesting, but I mean, I think it's at a, you know, he's at a crossroads right now, and that'd be interesting to see the decisions that's made by him and his team as for what they want to do next. Yeah. Nobody wants to walk away on a loss like that. You know, I definitely see him wanting to get back in there. I just don't know what sort of matchups that they want to kind of work. But it'd be interesting to see. But I would not be surprised to maybe switch it up and just to throw a curve into what he's been preparing for to go up and maybe just, you know, switch it up a little bit. Because then there's no real – I mean, there still are ramifications should he take another loss. But I think a lot of people might just chalk it up to, well, it was a fun experiment. And then he would make that decision of, well, do I go back to middleweight and try this again? Or do I maybe just say, okay, guys, I had fun.
Yep.
You know, and then leave at that point.
My biggest thing in after that fight is just, and what I've been talking to anybody that asked me about is like, look, it's completely up to him. That's the thing, is that the
yep.
dude is a legend of the sport.
Yep.
The dude is one of the greatest in the history yep. of the sport. And he's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do. There's nothing left to prove, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I do.
His legacy is set.
That's it. It's set. I don't see it necessarily a championship run for him again. But if he wants to compete, he's still the new rankings came out and he's ranked number 4. I mean, imagine you're talking about somebody that's the 4th ranked contender in the division and you're like, "Oh, well, I don't even know if they should fight again." So it's
yeah.
I think you nailed it, is that, you know, if he's not on an upward trajectory, how long do you want to see him go on a downward trajectory? Like
yeah.
It was hard for me to watch the end of Anderson Silva's career.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh,
you can't pair Izzy up with like number 13.
Yeah.
That's like
It just got difficult to watch at the end, and I don't want to see that. So we'll see. It's obviously a great result for Nassir Dinimomdatov leading into this weekend's card, which we'll talk about. We'll just shout out real quick CFFC 139 that I was on last Saturday night. Bilal Hassan, hopefully if you're listening to this show, you know the name. Bilal Hassan, the dude is good, man. Yep. 23 years old, another incredible performance. Just the speed at which he operates and the calmness with which he operates is so fun to watch. And then on top of that, he's fun on the mic as well.
Yep.
He makes
that
entrances. You know what I mean? He's got personality. He's got all that as well. So he's got the whole package. I told it to him on Saturday night. I was like, look, I'd love to keep calling your fights, but I don't think that's going to happen much longer. Yeah. Like, I think
and he's got a country behind him. I mean, you started to notice that. I mean, like, it's a matter of – it's not just that the kid's got a good fight. Like, there's a country literally clamoring to watch this kid. And I think that's the stuff where the UFC's like, oh, wait, you're bringing a following?
It's amazing.
And not just, like, guys that, oh, my family will come buy tickets and watch the fight. Like, no, like – you're literally – there will have people in their country, like, watching this thing. It's Indonesia,
it's
right?
Indonesia, yeah, exactly.
They are literally love this kid.
It is incredible because anytime we put up an Instagram post, an interview, a clip, like, immediately you just start getting these red and white flags, right? They put the little flag emojis, and then, you know, they're posting good luck in the native language. And, yes, the country is behind them. And how long have we talked about that over the years? Like, that's a good thing, right?
Because
when a country can look to a guy and say, like, oh, that's awesome. Our guy right there. Yep. They can cheer along with them.
Yep.
And I think that's hard sometimes for American fighters just because there's so many.
There's so many.
You know what I mean? But when you're like, that's our guy right there, that, you know, he represents us, let's go.
Yeah.
It's cool to see, man.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate too because, I mean, and I know we've said the same thing, you know, in the past, and I know I'm guilty of it as well, you know. Being here and being where you see so many fighters come fight from other countries, it's hard to not fall in love and respect and cheer for those fighters as well.
Yep.
Because I guess we're just kind of spoiled because everybody's here. We see him fight so often.
Yep.
That, yes, it'd be one thing if we were just like, well, you know, hey, Brazil guy, you're a good fighter, but sorry, I'm rooting for the American guy. You know, like, it's just something about us. I think we maybe, I don't know, we embrace all the different countries that are coming in, so we're happy to see them. Whereas some of the other countries are like, yeah, that's cool, America, but no, I'm rooting for our guy. Like, screw your guy. I don't care that I like so-and-so, like, if I see him on the street, I'm going to ask for his autograph. But in the fight night, I'm hoping he gets his ass whipped by our guy, you know, or something, you know. So it's neat. It's interesting. But, yeah, that kid, man, he's
it's really good.
The way he's fighting and then to be able to have a country behind him, that's a fast ticket to the UFC right there.
100%.
So
I got to believe he gets the call sometime this year, if not, you know, in the next couple of months. You know, I know the Ultimate Fighter is using flyweights, but I don't know where they are in filming. I don't know if they started. I mean, I know that thing's about to start, so I don't know if it's too tight of a turnaround for him to get on that because they already had a cast selected. I don't know.
Just go Contender Series.
Go Contender Series. Yeah.
I literally root so hard for, like, the Contender Series. There's something about that show, and even Dana said there's something about that show, just throwing somebody into, you know, such a high-pressure situation that those can rise to the occasion, which I have a good feeling that Bilal will be able to do, just go so well. So now, I mean, we've already seen the first champion that's came through there, but now a lot of times when I look on the card, whether they fought on the Contender Series is sometimes the difference as to why I will pick them over somebody else.
Right.
You know, as silly as that is. So
I would
say, like, go to the Contender Series instead because, I mean – and it's a lot less load. Like, when you're being asked to leave your family and then separate yourself for so long, getting out of all that stuff, while it's probably a cool, unique situation, but if you could shortcut that and be like, hey, I just got to show up on Fight Week like normal and fight like in 3 days, and then I can either know right then or not, as opposed to stay in the house forever and let alone wait for the shooting to start, wait, you have to keep the secrets until all that other crap. That's a big to do.
Just go do Contender Series.
Yeah, just go do Contender Series.
I'm anxious for Contender Series this year because I think we're gonna have a handful of guys on there this year. Last year we had a couple injuries and we had some guys that were like just quite not ready. You know, like Bilal Hassan, I think could have competed there last year, but I was like, not ready yet. Like, let's get a couple more fights. But this year, I think we got some guys that are ready. So I'm excited for it.
I will say, last ones, just looking at this card, I thought Vinicius Oliveira's fight against Said Nurmagomedov, was a great fight.
Great fight.
And Ziam against Mike Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if – when I looked, I was like, Davis – it wasn't the Davis that we thought that we're used to seeing. And I was like,
talking about like this breathing issue.
Yeah,
because
like he's only been away
like
for like a year, yeah. I think. And I was like, was there a reason? That's not the longest time.
I
made it
that
seem
fight
like
the other way too.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't think it was like this crazy long ring rest. But when you watch the fight, you're like, something was different. Something was different. But you know, credit to Ziam. I mean, I thought he put on a great fight, but Oliveira, I had to give a shout out. I thought
amazing.
That kid is something, man. I think he is.
He's fun.
I think he is a lot of fun. And anybody that goes in there and fights Nurmagomedov, everybody was rooting against him. Like they at this point, it's like when you see Nurmagomedov on the line, you know, as one of the options to bet, most people just inherently just pick him. And I was like, I'm not going to just pick him on this one. I said, I think Oliveira's got this one.
I was with Oliveira on that one. Because I think Nurmagomedov tends to fade a little bit late. You know what I mean? I think we saw that.
Yeah, when he gets challenged.
Yep.
And he got challenged. And he was just like, he didn't have the answers for it. But I credit that too. Oliveira's he's slick, man. And he's got power and he's fast.
He really is, man.
Is impressive. But yeah, I thought that was great. But yeah, it was a good night of fights.
Good night of fights. Full day,
or
man.
Good
like
morning
said,
of fights.
Good morning of fights. Good night of fights. CFSC 139. If you didn't see it, go watch the replay on Fight Pass. I should say, by the way, too, if you missed the prelims, which we stream our prelims exclusively on OnlyFans, we have a new deal with the start of the new year with them, and we will actually be putting the prelims on the CFSC MMA YouTube channel as well, which is something we haven't done for quite a long time. OnlyFans, great partners over there, great sponsors to work with. They said, listen, you know, if you want to put those on after a little bit, you know, they'll have an exclusive period, which I think is, 7 to 10 days, something along those lines. I'm not sure the exact wording on that, but we will get to see in there, which I'm excited because hopefully, you know, some people that might not always get a chance to see the prelims will get to watch them at least after the fact there on YouTube. So keep an eye out for that on the CFS YouTube page. Go ahead and subscribe to it if you will, like it. All those things that you do over there. I did want to talk about the UFC 312, of course, this weekend. I did want to bring up, though, real quick, you see this Kevin Lee footage that came out?
Yeah.
This is weird, man. Because I've seen some people that were like, why is Kevin Lee throwing a leaping knee in sparring? And there is something to be said for that, but I would also say he was throwing a leaping knee, like, way away from, like, there was
like a half-ass
sort of
jump.
Like, there was no way that was making contact whatsoever.
Guy threw a hard fucking shot, follow-up shot. That was a really, really hard follow-up shot.
So that's my thing. So if you want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt of like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you threw a flying knee at me, so on instinct, I threw a hard shot. I would kind of give you a pass for that. I still think it's bullshit because I think Kevin Lee was far enough away that in sparring you should see, like, he's not trying to hit me hard. He's not going to hit me hard from the position he's in throwing this flying knee.
Yep.
But if you want to say, I messed up and, bro, like, instinct kicked in and I just threw a hard counter right. Okay.
I mean, because he could have threw that right and tagged him.
Right.
But he put a lot of effort into that 100%. Shot.
So I would – and you know me, man. I'm
credit
not,
was perfectly placed.
It was a nice – right? Yeah, it was a nice counter. I will get – you know, and you know me, man. I'm always trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. That's just kind of who I am as a person.
Yep.
So I'll give him a pass.
Yeah.
Say it wasn't into – and I don't know if it was this guy. I think they're still trying to figure out where the footage got posted or who did it, at least the last I saw. If that was him that went and posted the footage afterwards, like,
Well, I mean, like, if it was his buddy shooting it.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, it had to be something, because to have Robbie right there watching it,
right?
It's kind of almost like if you bring some people in so you know that you're right there, and it's probably had his team or his buddy shooting it or somebody that where they were like, all right, these guys are going to do some sparring. Like, if you got... It didn't feel like it was just like class, maybe
right.
It was,
yeah.
You know. But the fact that Robbie was there so quick to pick him up, he was standing right there. So I imagine it was like Robbie and maybe this other guy's team. Maybe they paired him up like, all right, guys, do some work. You know, like, he's maybe got a fight coming up. Kevin's trying to test his stuff. Like, let's put him – let's get – and so maybe they were going a little bit harder, you know, at that
could
point.
Be. Like, maybe he wants to see where he's at.
Maybe he wants to see where he's at, and maybe the guy was giving, you know, maybe they were both putting it on to each other. And in that instance, you know, if we didn't see the footage of where Kevin was throwing really hard on that guy, it is what it is. I mean, we just happen to see. But when you take it and look like Kevin was just throwing a move, and then he was like, whoa, this guy went real hard on that, and he just happened to catch him perfectly. But, yeah, it was probably somebody from his team or something. I mean, like, Robbie literally could – well, I mean, you would think – they could think back on this day who was right there next to him.
They
know. They have to know.
They have to know. Yeah. Somebody has to know.
Yeah. And that's just the kind of stuff that they would probably – they're not going to make it public when they're going – even though Kevin's like, well, blah, blah, blah. You know they're going to take it, you know, off the communication record. You know, like, they ain't going to put that shit out. But I guarantee they've already had talks with whoever did it.
It's a chicken shit move to put it out. That is basically rule number one. Obviously, you and I have been fortunate enough to be in a gym.
Yeah.
You know, seen a lot of training sessions, that sort of thing.
And seen injuries and other sort of shit where it's just like, just keep your fucking mouth shut.
Especially if it's your teammate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think
somebody's not welcome back.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not really a longstanding teammate. That was somebody that was, you know, coming through. I don't know, man. To me, I don't know. I saw some people kind of jumping on Kevin Lee of like, well, if you're doing that in training, like, you take what you get or whatever. So, okay, I disagree, but I can at least say that. But not posting the footage,
what do they think they were doing? It'd be one thing if Kevin had him up against, the cage and then did a hard jumping flying into him. Then I get it. But if you're 5 feet across and you're sort of half-ass jumping, like throwing a knee just to get some movement.
Yeah. That's almost like funny. Yeah. Like, if you're the other guy,
you slide to the side.
You go, come on, man.
He could have easily just stepped aside and just gave him a nice little hard, like, sort of tap. You know, I mean, like, you just don't have to. I mean, like, it looked like it was a full swing.
I didn't like it at all. Like I said, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in that, you know, instinct took over in a heartbeat. The flying knee came, but you're supposed to be fighting in control. You're a professional athlete. You're supposed to be sparring in control. But yeah, that to me, that's just like. Crime number one, like rule number one, is like you don't post that footage. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we always hear about it. Like guys will even say, like, dude, we don't talk about what happened in the gym. You know what I mean? Like that's different. Because that's when you're supposed to be, as a fighter, that's when you're supposed to feel free that, hey, man, I can try stuff. I can do new things. Because you don't get to try things out in a fight. You know what I mean? Yep. Like that. So you need to be able to sparring to have that trust to be able to, like, well, I wanted to work on this. I wanted to try this. And to have somebody posting the footage, man, I thought that was bad. And
yeah, it's just poor form.
It is poor form.
But I guarantee, they think they're not getting an invite back to the back to the gym.
Absolutely not. UFC 312 is this weekend. I was sick, man. I miss going to Australia, man. You know what, man?
I miss going anywhere. Anywhere cool. I don't want to go to some of the BS. Like I wasn't sad that I wasn't over in Saudi Arabia, but Sydney, yes.
Sydney's fun, man. Sydney's fun. Out of all the places that,
because we got a ton of like buddies over there too.
So
like
many
that's
cool people.
What I miss.
I was actually thinking about that today. Like we've been fortunate enough, man. We've traveled the world.
Yeah.
And I feel blessed that I've been able to see so much of the world on somebody else's dime. At that, you know what I mean? Which is great. I got paid to go there.
Yeah.
But. Australia, even though it means being gone for like 8 days, because it's a long ass flight down there, there's a big time change and all that. Like as this week was rolling around, I was thinking about all the cool people that we hang out with down there. I was thinking about how I love the fact that when you're down there, the fights are like first thing in the morning. You know what I mean? So you wake up and like, let's go. It's like 9:30 a.m. Let's get this thing started.
The accents are so cool.
There's words you can use down there.
I mean, I'll tell you, now we got Abby over in London. It sucks not going over to London, but I get it. But if I had to pick the one location that bums me out every year that I don't go,
it's Australia. I felt the same way. I don't know why 100%. I felt this way. There's not many dates where like there's something going on. Damn, I wish I was there.
Yeah. Now some of our favorite fans we've seen, I'll always miss it.
But yeah, the people, just the people. We had some good times in Australia.
Oh my god, some of the best times. Ever.
Yeah.
Some of the best times ever.
I love it.
That's why I get bummed. I get so bummed every
time. I
got to
make it down there again soon. I got to bring
Unfortunately, I have to be on our dime probably.
It'll be on our dime moving forward.
It would be interesting to go down there and actually to be just as a visitor and actually enjoy, because I mean the weather is good, the food's good, the people are good, but we always had to work in with work.
Yeah.
So we'd end up going out at night, which they're always down to go out at night. It's not a big deal, but it'd be nice to maybe just go over and actually be a tourist.
I
want to
go do it, man. My kid's getting old enough now. We're like, because that was for the longest. I want
Holy
my kid.
Holy cow, your kid. Like, bro. Daniela posted a picture of him, playing guitar, doing something, and she had a side by side. And I was like, I literally just had dinner with his kid, like, 3 weeks ago, and he looked totally different. He's right in that growth spurt
now. Oh, he's right in the middle of a growth spurt, man.
He looked so different. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's crazy, dude. Yeah. In May, he'll be 13. He'll be a teenager.
Holy cow, teenager,
bro. But he's getting old enough now. We're like, I want to be able to show him the world too. Like, I do believe traveling is important. I believe it's important for you to get out and see other cultures, learn about other history, learn about other people. So I've been wanting to do that. But, you know, I took him to London when he was like, really, because my wife loves Europe, right? Yeah. And so I took them both over there, and I want to say at the time
she wanted to go to Nando's, right?
She wanted to go to Nando's. No, she does. She does not get the Nando's thing. She's like, I mean, it's chicken. It's good, but it's chicken.
I remember being there.
She's like, you guys really miss this when you're not here. I'm like, yeah. Do we want a good Nando's? A little cheeky Nando's.
Nando's. I forgot about that.
But we took my kid over there, and it was actually one of my favorite fights ever. It was Anderson and Michael Bisping, I believe, was the fight that we took over there for. But he doesn't remember any of it because he was like three.
Yeah,
he was. You know what I mean? Three or four or something like that.
At that point.
But now he'll remember it. And yeah. So I want to do that. And the other thing about Australia is obviously, you know, that's a 16-hour flight from L.A. You want to make sure you got a kid that's old enough to be able to be like, hey, you got to chill for 16 hours. I know that kind of sucks. But I want to go down
and
there.
And what's that? You can just like entertain yourself. He's old enough he can entertain himself 100%. For that long.
And now he's like, bro, give him a Wi-Fi connection and a video game or something. He's good to go. Or he'll watch movies.
That's cool.
I'll get down. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to all the people in Australia. I miss fight weeks in Australia, so I do want to make it down there again. And listen, I know this card is not getting a lot of love, and I understand why. It doesn't have the big names on it and all that, but you do have a lot of local talent there. You do have some fights that, I mean, Jack Jenkins against Gabriel Santos should be fun. Tom Nolan versus Vyacheslav Borshev
should
be fun. I like Wang Kong. She's a character and a half.
She is something. It's like, it's going to see if she bounces back on this one. I think a lot of people are wondering if she can get back to that hype level because she was so
– she had insane
I forget
hype.
What it was. Like, she was like a plus – was it like in the thousands or something like
crazy.
That? She was like the biggest favorite in the card and then just got –
that was wild, man.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, this is a tough fight, man. I'd like because she, just her whole fight week personality is crazy. And I guarantee she's gonna come dressed up again as the Wayne.
Of course.
Try to act like she's shooting.
She'll have to do something. It'd be interesting to see how she carries herself, right? Because
it'd be interesting to see how you recover.
You can't just totally lose it though. You know, you gotta still keep it a little bit.
It takes almost that much extra confidence and ego to be like, okay, I did all this last time and got.
I think the card's getting a little bit pooped on more than necessary. Obviously, we'll see how it plays out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think there's some interest. I mean, obviously, Topuria being on there, the brother, and then, of course, you got the idea that you know, you'll have Volk in one corner and Ilya in the other, and that's fun. But so anyway, there's some fun stuff on the undercard. But I'll be honest with you. You know, laying out the undercard and what's to look at. I mean, Jimmy Crute, Jake Matthews is back.
That
Justin
Quillen
Taffa.
Guy, Quillen Salkill. How do you say your name? Like that guy, that should be a fun fight.
So I do believe in, you know, this is not me just being a UFC homer. Like I know people, I get it. People are upset. I don't want to pay $70 to this, blah, 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 blah. I get all that. But I do think the card's going to be better than people are giving it credit for. I think it's going to be more fun. But I got to
We just have had some really good pay-per-views.
Yeah, we've had some
And a lot of them had multiple title fights and I don't know, maybe the fighters that people are like really clamoring for.
Well, and let's not forget about the other thing too when it comes to booking these cards. A, you got a lot of athletes that live in that area that need fights.
That need fights.
So it's easier for them. Yep. B, you got a lot of people that for both tax reasons and for just travel reasons don't want to go down there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're like, you know, hey, we got a fight for you, man. It's February 9th. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. Where's that one going to be at again?
That one's in Australia.
Oh, did you say February 9th? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, no.
I think my wife's going to be pregnant all of a sudden then.
Yeah, you got the 2nd. You got the 16th. What you got? Not the 9th now that you mentioned it. So, anyway, it is a challenge, I think, to book these cars. And always remember that. But with all that being said, I am so intrigued by these two title fights, man. I love – I'll start with the co-main because, to be honest with you, it's a fight that we haven't seen yet. And I am very much and have been for a very long time on the Tatiana Suarez hype train, right?
Yep.
Like, from the beginning, I said this, from the first time when people were calling her the female Habib, you know, I was like, 100%, this woman is going to be a champion. I still feel that way, 100%. I interviewed Patchy Mix. That'll go out on Grind City Media, I believe, tomorrow. Spoke with him. And you know, just the confidence that he has. Obviously, it's his fiance. He's going to be on her side. But, I mean, the things that he's talking about, like, bro, she's in there going with me. You know what I mean? Like, she can full-on grapple with me. You know, it's just – I'm a big Tatiana Suarez believer. And I think and I'm be honest with you, I'm picking her in this fight. But Zhang Weili –
it's fucking Zhang Weili.
Oh my god, the athlete.
It's like
she
you can't just discount. It's like, you know, as I'm with you 100%. I mean, like, I think we've been waiting for Tatiana. If it wasn't for injuries, yes, these just freak injuries that have been keeping her sidelined for, she'll fight, then she'll be gone for a year.
Yep.
She'll fight, then she's gone for a year. You know, if she can get that together and stay healthy, man, I mean, this is the one we've been waiting for so long. People have been talking about it, but you're 100% right. But, man, Zhang Weili, I mean, is so legit. I mean, like, it's just crazy forever to, for people to be like, I think for some point it was like, if you knew Zhang Weili was fighting, you were like, oh, yeah, well, she's going to be the clear favorite.
Yeah.
This fight is not that way. And this is a fighter that's coming in there that we haven't seen fight in a while. But that's how much people respect her wrestling and just what she's able to do. Strickland the other day was talking like, dude, I remember this training where she was beating up on this dude and the coach was like telling her to go easy. And she just like, no, like she doesn't have an easy, like
she doesn't get it.
Doesn't have easy mode.
Patchy was talking about that. He was like, she's the kind of person that if she wins like 4 minutes and 55 seconds of a round, she's pissed off
she's
that she lost 5.
She didn't get the 5 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, you know what I mean? Like that's how driven she is. And you think about, you know, you talk
that's
about.
What about that as a training partner to like to go with Patchy Mix? Well, speaking of who asked for his release,
yes,
you know, yep, but Patchy Mix is badass. To the so to think like you could have that as your training partner at any moment of the day, you're gonna have to think how good she could quite possibly be. I mean, like she's already fantastic, but then let alone to have a world champion as like your at home training partner.
So I'll tease one thing with Patchy that, by the way, that I want to so talk to me. He asked for his release, right?
Yep.
I was like, well, they're going to put – they have a bantamweight tournament this year. Like, wouldn't I just put you in the tournament? That's 3 fights. He's like, you think they're going to pay me what I make three times in a year? And I was like, oh, you're right. There's no way in hell they're putting you in that tournament.
I have something I want to tell you.
Okay, we'll tell you.
That was supposed to it's supposed to be off the record.
Oh, wait.
But I feel like I just okay. – like, we should tell our fans. I do know of somebody that I did happen to recently see – you know, of course, off the record, he's like, I know, I'm going to tell you and it's off the record, but I know you're going to end up telling everybody. He
well,
did say, he did say
indeed
that when Coker Sold did bump up contracts.
Oh, yeah.
At the very end, and even bumped up like the PR firm contracts. Yep. But some of these contracts of some of these fighters, he knowingly bumped them up a good bit as a reward and thank you. We speculated.
Yep, I had heard the same.
But
you got firsthand confirmation.
This is solid source. Solid source.
I believe.
I will say no more than that. So, yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, and you know what? And look, I think it's good that you say that though, because if you're, I know a lot of people have been very critical of the PFL, and I get it. But remember, we've talked about financially what they have to do. Like, if you go spend all your money, was that really any good? Like, what was the point of that? And if that is the case, I mean, I think that probably factors into why they've been a little bit hesitant to book people. But when he said that like, oh, they're not gonna pay me what I make 3 times a year. I was like, you're 100% right. They're definitely not gonna pay this anyway. Well, hopefully we see because Patchy Mix
and then
is world class.
And then there's something else I think as well, right? Because it's not just the contract. Then they give you extra as well for the tournament
if
you proceed along.
Yeah, they'd have to give that to him. So they're not gonna pay him that. So yeah, we'll see. I hope they do release. Honestly, Patchy is as good as anybody in the game. So look, Tatiana. The one thing I want to say about Tatiana too. You know, we talk about the layoffs, and I know you can attest to this. Is, I mean, anybody that's been around her work ethic is legendary. Like, obviously, you know, an Olympic hopeful were it not for the cancer. But, man, I just, the layoff, we used to see her at the PI as much as anybody. You know what I mean? She would be every day, I mean, crutching her way in there with the knee injury. You know what I mean? Like, she's at every fight. She's going there for rehab and work every day. So, she's phenomenal, man. And I really do think, like I said, I'm picking her. I'd love to see her win. I mean, to know... You know, to battle through cancer and lose your Olympic dreams, to be on this fast track to, you know, a UFC title and to twice have just devastating injuries that force you, you know, out for extended periods of time. I mean, it would have been very easy for her to throw her hands in the air and be like, I'm done. This ain't for me. Not going to happen. And she continues to press forward. So I would love to see Tatiana Suarez win. I am picking her to win. But I can't discount how athletic Zhang Weili is, how
– Yep.
Obviously, Zhang is the better striker. And as long as she's on the feet, she is a better striker than Tatiana Suarez. There's no doubt about it. And she's, I mean, just this will that she has. I'm intrigued by this fight, man. I think this co-main event. But Tatiana's your pick?
Tatiana's my pick. And is it so wrong? We were talking about the American crowds and other stuff. I kind of want American champ.
Let's go.
We need some American champs.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
We do need some.
Nothing wrong with all the international champs, but I mean, we got what? There's two.
Because all
now.
The American athletes represent our country so well these days, right?
That's true. That's true.
What a crazy time it's been. That's true. Oh, my God. Well, you know, we were just – you know, it's funny. The other day when we were on that road trip back and forth, we drove right through Searcy, Arkansas, where he's from, and I didn't – where Bryce Mitchell's from.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I had no – like, it is tiny backwards. Yeah. Backwoods, poor town, man. And he's off the grid of the tiny-ass town, man. That was –
Why not? We see Cry for a good reason. Keep to yourself out there.
Oh, man. And I like that. Dude, I've always liked Bryce Mitchell.
I like Bryce.
He's such a nice guy.
He's
so polite, you know. Thank you for your question. I appreciate you. Yeah. You know, I was very polite and such a great guy. But that one was just like, come on, man.
Don't meet your heroes.
What are you doing? Yeah. What are you saying, man? Don't say that. Oh, that was unfortunate. Yeah. All right. Speaking of other people that say things sometimes, Sean Strickland against Trickus Duplessis. Pick here. Because I really like this fight, too.
It's a good fight.
It's a good fight, man. The history between these two. Obviously, a fight. Obviously, a fight in the stands. Which is still – it is still one of the craziest clips ever where Sean's just like, excuse me.
Yep.
Excuse me.
See, he's considerate at times. He's considerate at times. You know, I do like this fight. You know, and granted, you know, I'll say it's one way and watch it play out another way when it comes to fight night. I definitely think they're both going to come in here knowing and understanding each other a little bit better than what we had the first time around. You have people that look at DDP and they're like, I don't get how he's able to do what he does. His style's kind of weird, but he just kind of makes it work. He's not flashy. He's not whatever, but he makes it work. You got Strickland who kind of just goes forward and he just stifles people and you don't get a chance, and then he just wears you down with those punches and stuff. I think DDP is going to go in there now understanding better to what Strickland does. I think before he was a little bit maybe gun shy because he wasn't quite sure, you know. Like Strickland has some power in there and he just kind of just shells up and he does a pretty good job, but I have a feeling that DDP understands what he's going to get better. So I think when at times he was maybe more reserved that first fight, I think he's going to push the pace. And I think if that's what happens and he pushes the pace and catches Sean tends to, if he can dictate it, make it his fight, has a better chance.
That's it.
I think DDP's got to take it and dictate where the fight goes. Make it his style and put Sean on the back foot. If he can keep Sean on the back foot, I think he'll take it. And that's what I envision. I think DDP's going to hold it. I do think, so in our picks, I think DDP holds it, and I think Zhang Weili loses it.
Yep, I do too. I'm picking DDP as well, although I'll be honest. I think Sean Strickland, as you said, if Sean Strickland makes it a Sean Strickland fight, it's tough to fight him.
Yep.
But if Sean Strickland can't, and Trickus Duplessis can dictate how the fight plays, exactly how you said, man, and I think that changes everything.
It's just always weird when you see Sean come into fight weeks when, like, he walked into Media Day. I was just looking at the interview today, and we just posted it. The UFC finally let the Media Day ones come. He comes in this first thing, and, you know, he's always – and I'll give him credit because he is very socially awkward, and he says it himself sometimes. Right. He'll just say the most outlandish shit to kind of like as a – think of this over here. Don't look at me, but look at – let's just talk about this crazy shit, and it's, like, so shocking all that you're just like, oh, yeah, you're right, and he starts talking. But he walks in there and immediately starts firing off towards Bryce. Now, granted, what Bryce said was pretty fucking horrible. But the fact that you're making your media day talking about this other stuff, just you wonder where his focus in that. It's always that on some of these fight weeks. You wonder how focused he is on the fight. I say that, but we know once they're in the cage, it doesn't matter with
Sean. Yeah, it does.
I think, does have that ability that he can just be like, guys, I will talk nothing about this particular fight for 6 weeks and then fight night. He's so uber
such
focused
a gamer,
when
bro.
He's in there.
He's
yeah.
such a gamer, man. That dude does
be interesting.
That dude's like has just sparred so many rounds and fought.
That's it.
It's legendary.
He just goes
I mean?
In auto mode. Yep. You know, he's like, all right, I'm gonna go for it. I need to knock you out. You're gonna come at me. I'm going to defend, and then I'm going to strike.
You know what's interesting? So, you know, obviously, if anybody watched the Sean Strickland Media Day, it was a Sean Strickland Media Day, which we know what that entails now these days. I always joke. It's like he's doing crowd work.
The look was interesting.
The look was interesting. The stash and everything.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I like the look.
But it was interesting because, you know, he went out of his way to, first of all, brilliant in attacking Khamzat Chimaev. Not many people, many people attack that guy. Great, because even if you lose this fight,
He's got a fight laid out.
Got a fight laid out, which is smart. So from the marketing side of things, brilliant. You've got a fight that needs to happen with history already there. So brilliant on that. But it's interesting, too, because he went out of his way to kind of attack Saudi Arabia and even mentioned the UFC's relationship with Saudi Arabia. And
good.
It's interesting because can the UFC do anything? Like, you literally just last week, Dana White was doing interviews and saying, we protect free speech. Like, you can say dumb stuff, but we protect it. And he even said, like, you know, some of the stuff, the hate speech is what you got to protect the most. Like, that was a week ago. Now, not to say that the UFC can't make a hypocritical decision and just be like, I don't care, it's our company, we're doing what we want with it. They can.
Yep.
But literally with what just happened with Bryce Mitchell, Sean Strickland has to feel comfortable saying whatever he wants to say. And not, you know, I know he said, like, I probably shouldn't say this, but he said it anyway. He's got to feel like they can't do anything to me. They just said they're not going to do anything to Bryce Mitchell. Yep. Why are they going to do something to me?
Yep. I mean, and when it boils down to it, I mean, like, even if I think the Saudi prince and everybody was like, you know, he's disparaging us, we want you to cut him or you're not going to come back, I don't think that they would. You know, I think Dana would just be like, I'm sorry, you know, he just won't fight over here.
It's interesting, though.
I will give you that much control, but
I'll tell you what, though, it's interesting, though, because, you know, obviously with the whole TKO thing, like, Saudi Arabia has a big partnership with WWE as well, right? So it's not only one company, it's two companies. So now what if, you know, again,
it would be very hypocritical if it came after him. They'd have to find some way to spin it that it didn't come down to these comments.
Yep.
You know, they'd have to find some particular way because, yeah, it would be very, very hypocritical.
We know we just had him fight for the title, but it's clear he's on the downswing. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine if he wins?
I mean, because if he didn't get it, he was done.
Guys,
done.
Can you imagine how he wins the title and they're just like, I mean, guys, he did win over Judas Duplessis and he is our reigning middleweight champion, but
It's kind of
clear to see that
how he didn't look that great tonight, though, right? He just barely got it. I mean, DDP just looked terrible.
You could say, oh, they totally would, too.
Yeah. I found it interesting
because, I mean, look.
He's not the only one. I mean, people have started clamoring off to the sides, like, you know, hold these people accountable. You want to say, you know, they said the same thing about, you know, when people are coming after Bryce and how Dana said something about Bryce, and it's like, okay, well, you're still doing business with some other companies or countries and places that don't have great, you know, human rights records of themselves.
Yep.
You know, when are you going to account for that? You know, so the fact that Strickland wants to come in and start, you know, bringing things to light and maybe talking about things that aren't fun for a lot of people to hear, you know, it's not like he just pulled it out of a hat and just said, I'm going to bring this up.
Right.
People are talking about these things, you know, so.
It's interesting because, I mean, you and I, like, A, I'm not a very political person in the least. B, you and I like to just do keep things light and do keep things fun. But it would be really interesting if somebody just said, I'm not, like, what if somebody came out and said, like, they offered me to fight over there, but I refused to step foot on Saudi Arabian soil. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like, what do you do? I mean, that's a major business partner, and unfortunately for the UFC,
it just seems to get bigger and bigger partner every year.
I was going to say, fortunately for the UFC, it seems like they have multiple streams of revenue, so it wouldn't be like earth shattering to the business if Saudi Arabia said, "You know what, man, you're backing that guy, we're done with you."
Yeah.
But there's some other companies out there that are significantly propped up by the Saudi Arabian government right now, and especially
overseas and some of the distribution. I think if it comes to like distribution overseas and other places, if the Saudi, you know, government or whoever buys said distribution things, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot, you know, if you piss off that and you can't get broadcast into a certain region, you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, we're broadcast in 330 countries as opposed to whatever. I don't know what it is, 360, I forget, whatever number they like to throw out there.
That is.
But, I mean, there's certainly ramifications, but, it's – at least, if anything, you know, Dana on the record should say, "Yeah, I mean, they're fighters. They're free to talk as much stupid shit, you know." But it'd be interesting to see who is able to overtake Bryce right now in Dana's book as for being the dumbest UFC fighter. He seems pretty set that Bryce has kind of set a new threshold, you know. Pretty bad. This is the guy that drilled his nuts and then had to reverse the drill to pull it back out. I was like, it was such a visual statement that I was like, oh, Dana, why'd you put that in my head?
I've been a Bryce Mitchell fan. I mean, for the first time I saw him fight, I'll never forget. It was World Series of Fighting. And I thought he had a great performance. Then Joey Marner went and interviewed him, and it was that line that it always stuck with me. He's like, why do they call you Thug Nasty? He's like, you see me in the cage, but you ain't see me in the streets. And I was just like, I love this guy. I mean, from that day, I'm like, I'm a Thug Nasty fan. And then to do something like this, it's just bro, like, there's just like a couple things you don't talk about in this world, right? Yeah. I mean, I get it, free speech, but like, come on, man.
I just hope that, you know, I mean, granted, people go through phases and you just hope that there can be a true learning process whether he thinks he's in the right now, you know, a lot of life will still happen. And, you know, the way you reflect upon things will change. And I'm hoping he looks back on this and maybe thinks about what he said. And, you know, like, you know, I was wrong, or maybe he learns from it. You know, I don't want him to learn just to say, like, I learned I can't say certain things out publicly because there's going to be a backlash.
Right.
I want him to actually learn and think, like, wow, what I was praising this guy, I was wrong at the time, because in my head I was this. I want that to be the real learning.
Way to put it, man.
You know, that there's an actual lesson in life learned. Like,
it's actually a great way to put it. I never thought about it. Like, the lesson is not don't say this.
Yeah.
The lesson is, do you understand the implications of what you were saying?
Yeah. Do you understand why people are so upset and why people were so hurt?
It's a great lesson.
And, like, you know, what made you think that? I mean, like, because, I mean, everybody's a human being. I mean, like, even when you look at, you know, not to get too philosophical, you think about our parents, we always wonder, like, man, my parents sucked when I was growing up. They're still learning. We tend to think that they're perfect and that they're the full example, but everybody's still learning the life, and what you think at that particular point might change. I'm sure what the point that he was trying to make, he came to that point maybe not initially. Maybe something in life pushed him, and then eventually started feeling this way, and I'm hoping something else in life pushes him to learn and think differently again and maybe come back to the side of humanity. But, you know, that's, I hope it's that kind of learning. I don't want him just to parrot and say, I'm sorry, I learned my lesson and I won't do that again, you know, without real proper learning, because then
you're still saying it in private.
Then you're still saying it in private.
You still believe the same thing.
And then that just leaks out in another area.
Yep.
It'd be some other phrase.
It's a great point. You know. It's a great point, man. All right, listen, UFC 312 is this weekend. If you want to and you're around, and I would recommend that you do and ask that you do, if you want to jump on UFC Fight Pass 2 hours earlier, that'll be 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, we'll have CFFC Match Day. We'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas again. The Oklahoma State Cowboys will be in Little Rock, so obviously a legendary program there. I will actually not be on the call for this one. I will be in the production truck for this one. Shane Sparks will be there. Our man Justin James is back. He's super excited to get a chance to call Oklahoma State, who, it's crazy, man. I was looking at their roster today, starting to put some of the graphics and stuff together. I mean, they've got they've got ranked athletes at every weight class, which is not surprising. But I want to say, like, I believe the number I was looking at, seven of their athletes are in the top seven in the nation in their division. You know what I mean? So it's just like multiple, like, top level. I mean, it's
multiple, probably already All-Americans.
Oh, multiple returning All-Americans. You know, they have more NCAA championships than any other college in history. David Taylor, it's actually kind of cool. David Taylor has commented before for CFSC Match Day. So he's a former CFSC Match Day broadcaster and obviously a legendary wrestler, Olympic gold medalist, multiple-time world champion, multiple-time NCAA division champion.
Maybe DC at one of those Oklahoma State events?
I'd love to see him out there, man. Is he on the – he should come out. I don't know why he should. I mean, obviously one of the legends. We'll certainly be talking about DC.
Yeah.
DC, Johnny Hendricks.
How do they not? Yeah, when you get a place like Oklahoma State, talking about the guys that went through there, you kind of have to.
You have to. you have to. Unbelievable. I mean, and those are just like the NCAA champions. Now you're talking about just the UFC champions that came in. So, you know, Couture was there as well, and Fry came through. So
that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy. The number of guys that have come to that room. So anyway, yeah, if you haven't checked out CFSC Match Day, like I said, I won't be on the call this time, but I'm actually really excited. Shane Sparks and Justin James are both two of the most high-energy, passionate wrestling people I've ever seen. So this is the first time that they're working together on the microphone.
Awesome.
And I'm excited about that because I don't know if you'll ever have seen a more high-energy broadcast.
Sparks is doing the play-by-play and then Justin's just color.
Yep. And then I'll be doing, like I said, I'll be in the truck working on graphics.
Look at
and
you.
So, yeah, it should get a multi-skilled layers. You know, it's all good. So.
Just keeping them guessing.
You never know where I'm going to show up. You never know. You never know what's going on.
Might be a ring girl. To fill it up.
Just to do it. It's one of the few roles I haven't had in this sport. I was like, man, I want to learn everything about this space, man. I want to learn it all. So I'm getting that opportunity with CFSC, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Cold Coffee will have the In the Quarter episode, we believe.
Yep.
Should technology not fail me? And then we'll have a new plan for you moving forward for everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/TheMMAROadshow because it is very much appreciated. Now I got to go home. Got to get packed. Got to get ready for the trip. Got to get ready to watch UFC 312. Like I said, we're leading into it. So watch CFSC Match Day, watch UFC 312, and we'll catch up with you again next week. In the meantime, Thanks for listening.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.